Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
We think somehow that America doesn't have idols, but I can tell you the Western culture has its own idols. And God demands exclusivity of worship and obedience to Him. God said out of His own mouth, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The dominant sin in the Bible was the sin of idolatry.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a brand new message series from Pastor Rogers. This series is entitled American Idols. This is part one from that series, No Other God Before Me. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Taylor got up here a few moments ago talking about you should worship the one true God and not let any idols get in there. And then up comes the reverend and starts talking about wooden trinkets in the back. So y'all need to move up closer to the front, whatever. But I can assure you we have plenty of idols today. And God demands exclusivity of worship and obedience to Him. God said out of His own mouth, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The dominant sin in the Bible was the sin of idolatry. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, the word idolatry there is defined as creeping things. In other words, it's not something that may come on you all of a sudden, but it's the little creeping things that come into your life that become idols over a period of time. Let me lay a little foundation here for a few moments that I have left. This is a series, part one, that I'll be bringing some more to you about this. But let's understand what an idol is, because in your mind you have a picture of some golden statue somewhere. But here's the real definition, biblically and for the time we're in. An idol is when something or someone becomes more important to us than God. Anything we look to as our source, or we worship or serve more than God, is an idol. An idol, now stop right here. I don't want you thinking about somebody else. I want you to think about you. An idol is anything in creation that competes with our loyalty and worship to and service to the Creator. We're now facing, in the time we're in, the worship of the creation more than the Creator. And God said, "I will have no other gods before me." Even good things, ladies and gentlemen, can become idols when we make them the ultimate thing in our lives. So anything or anyone can become an idol if we place the value for that thing or person above the value of our God. A little bit deeper, an idol is anything you love more, fear more, trust more, serve more, and worship more than God. Whatever your heart trusts in more than God becomes an idol. In fact, it is the greatest sin you'll find in the Bible because it transgresses the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not worship another. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Notice what the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse number 16. The Bible says, and just a little background right here, the Bible is talking about the fact that when they enter into the promised land, the children of Israel, they're not to cavort or to connect or make relationships with those gods of Canaanites that are in the promised land, because if you do, those gods will become your God. And here's what the Bible said in Exodus chapter 34, I should say, in verse number 16. It says, take of the daughters unto thy sons and their daughters, and they will go whoring after their gods and make thy sons go whoring after other gods. God said, "I am a jealous God. Jealous is my name." God said, I don't want any other God. Your husband, your wife, your time, your children, your money, your education. I don't want anything trying to compete with your worship unto me. I am exclusive. And if you've got anything between you and God, it is an idol, including yourself. Idols. Oh, they have new names today, but they've been around for a long, long time. The idols that have new names. We call it today materialism. Back in the Bible, they called it mammon. Jesus said, you can't worship both God and mammon. You're going to have to make a choice. Alcohol. We call it alcohol and alcoholism, but in the biblical term, it's Bacchus. They would worship that, the god of the drink, to get drunk. Sex was called Athena in the Word of God. Violence was attributed to the god of Mars. Mars in the worship of the stars and the power that it brings. Wisdom. Wisdom by the name of Sophie or education. When they would worship their knowledge like they did on Mars Hill. In the book of Acts chapter 17. Please notice the scripture in Exodus 32 and 4. Moses is on the top of Mount Sinai receiving the laws and the commandments of God and the blueprints of the tabernacle to worship God. And while he is up there, they decide, the Israelites do, the children of Israel down on the ground around the mountain of God, they decide, you know what? Our pastor has been gone out of our sight too long. And we need to form ourselves a God that we can see because he's been taken away. He's not coming back. We're not hearing from that God. And we need a God we can taste, touch, smell, hear, and see. So they gave all of their gold that they had received as an offering from the Egyptians into the hand of Aaron, the high priest. And the Bible says that he received the gold from their hands and fashioned it with a carving tool and made, listen, a golden calf. And they said, these are our gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. They attributed their worship to a golden calf, which was a model of one of the gods of Egypt. And they said, this is the God. Aaron said, worship this God. And the Bible says that they worshiped and tore off their clothes and had a gigantic orgy in that place. And when Moses was coming back down the mountain and met with Joshua, Joshua said, there's a sound of war in the camp. And the discernment of the pastor Moses said to Joshua, that's not war, that's partying and riotous living. And by the time that he got down to the mountain, he saw the greatest orgy in the middle of a wilderness that has ever been formed. And he took those tablets of the law of God and threw them down on the ground, destroying that golden calf, and commanded everybody who was going to worship the one true God to go over here and get on my side. And you got to make up your mind which God you're going to serve. This is the first account of idol worship found in the Word of God, but it's not the last. Consider the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, where king after king struggled to rid the land of idols, and sometimes they had limited success, but by and large, people's hearts went back to their idols because they could see that God. They were not content to worship the invisible God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were not content to worship that something they couldn't see. And they were mocked by those that were around them that said, you only worship this one God and we can't see that God. We've got gods that we can worship. In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul steps onto the city of Athens, Greece, where the Parthenon, one of the greatest temples that has ever been constructed, was there erected to the gods and the many gods of those that worship in Greece, in Athens, Greece. And Paul comes on there and finds a statue of all of these different gods wherever they are, but he finds a platform where they have said, just in case we don't have one of these gods taken care of, we will ascribe it to the unknown God and left it invisible with a placard that says to the unknown God. Paul said, I want to talk about that God right there because that's the one you're missing that will make all the rest of these little G's. We picture an idol of a statue bowing down to some golden calf, but we live in a culture that idolizes success and fame and prestige and power and ideas and ideologies and comfort and convenience, and we worship those as idols today. Oh, before you say that's out there in the world, I want you to know that Christians have got their own set of idols inside of their hearts today. They're just as real as the statues of idols found in the Bible. And we can make something good into an idol and worship it as the source of our life. Education, money, power, sports, entertainment. We're so bold enough today to say we're going to title a TV program American Idol. I hear you. I knew when I got to that point it would be silent as a church mouse. I hear you saying, well, Pastor, that means everything's a sin. Nope. Everything is not a sin. But anything and anyone can become an idol and take the place of the value and the worship and the service unto God. And if we are not willing to sacrifice that on the altar before God to worship the one true living God as our God and our source, then it will become an idol in our heart, and anything that we can't give up for Christ will become an idol. You better hear what I'm preaching today. Because you can come into this holy house of God and speak in tongues with an idol inside of your heart. Let me give you some assurances and some facts that we know today. Money is good. Come on, that's not a trick question. Money's good. How many of you know you're not surviving without it? Except for the fact that the book says that the love of money is the root of all evil. 98% of those incarcerated in jail today, ladies and gentlemen, are there over a money transaction. And if you want to raise the eyebrows and the hair on the back of people's neck today, start talking about money, whether they're going to get it or not. Money, the love of money has become an idol. And I don't care if you're sitting in this building this morning. Let me just put it plain. He just stood up here and preached a little of this message. Ladies and gentlemen, God requires the tithe and an offering. I don't care what false preachers say today. I'm telling you, it shows you where your heart is at. And God knew that money would be the idol of the last days. That's the reason Jesus said, you cannot worship man and God, mammon and God. You must choose between the two. And we are now at a place where money has become the central focus. Let me make it plain with the one statement we've heard over and over again. It's the economy, stupid. The love of money at this point is driving people to do all kinds of things because it's become an idol. I love how you shout me down. It demands our attention and it gets most of our time. And if it means I need to miss work or church to go to work and make me a little bit more money, then I'll sacrifice my worship to God to go make another dollar bill. Let me say, before you give me all of your excuses, I've worked shift work before. I understand 24 on 24. For all. I understand when you got to get the ox out of the ditch, so to speak, biblically, in order to get things over. But when it becomes a pattern where you, ladies and gentlemen, have got to be able to do that instead of making a choice, I can choose. I can go do this or I can go do that. God told me years ago there would become an apathy inside of the house of God where people would make a choice for that world and things out there over their opportunity for God. There will come a day, ladies and gentlemen, when the opportunity of coming to the house of God will be closed. It will be shut down. And then what will you say then? Will you say, money, get me out of this? Education, get me out of this? Time, get me out of this? I will tell you that God Almighty is requiring us to return back to the worship of the one true God and move the other gods out of the way. It's driving politics today. There are folks that are getting mad right now because they're not sure if they're going to get a stimulus check. And what has happened? We've turned government into God and made it our source. Hello, somebody. We've made all these things our source, and that's when it becomes an idol. I knew I wouldn't be getting a lot of amens this morning, so I went ahead and looked in the mirror this morning and amen myself about 50 times just in case that I didn't get one today. Because I'm going to tell you, when you start, oh, preach about this and preach about that, but don't touch that golden calf that's sitting in my heart while I'm in here trying to worship.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.